Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to, because I want to say that our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here, to pray one for another. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen.
I am the creator. I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
let me be who I am for you.
let me be who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell him who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. Psalms 59 and 10 says, my God, Elohim, in his loving kindness, chastity, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. El Chastity, you know how I am formed. You remember that I am dust. In your loving kindness, you show me mercy. From everlasting to everlasting, your love is with those who fear you, and your righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep your covenant. Elohim, chastity. You show favor to your people, and you have restored many from captivity. You have forgiven my iniquities and covered all of my sin. In your mercy, you have withdrawn your fury and turned away from your burning anger. Surely your salvation is near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our hearts and in our land. Your loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace has kissed each other. And for that, I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, which is entitled, Imagine This. And our scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 65, and we're going to read verses 17 through 25. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad. Rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it. No more. Praise be to God. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Only the cursed will die that young. In those days, people will live in the houses they built and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. They will not work in vain, and their children will not be doomed to misfortune. For they are people blessed by the Lord, and their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snake will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. Praise be to God. What a glorious time that will be. The text for this message is coming from Isaiah 65 and 17, where it says, I will create new heavens and a new earth. Amen? Praise be to God. Imagine this. The writer says, during the course of a popular home renovation television program, viewers often hear the host say, imagine this. Then she unveils what could be when old things are restored and dragged, walls and floors are painted or stained. In one episode, after the renovation, the homeowner was so overjoyed that, along with other expressions of elation, the words that's beautiful gushed from her lips three times. One of the stunning, imagine this, passages in the Bible, it's Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. What a dazzling recreation scene, the future renovations of heaven and earth is in view. And it is not merely cosmetic. Amen. It's deep and real, life altering and life preserving. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruits. Violence will be a thing of the past. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. While the reversals envisioned in Isaiah 65 will be realized in the future, the God who will orchestrate universal restoration is in the business of life-changing change now. The Apostle Paul assures us, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. In need of restoration, has your life been broken by doubt, disobedience, and pain? Life change through Jesus is real and beautiful and available to those who ask and believe. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Question. What changes can you imagine the God of restoration making in your life? And what's keeping you from believing in Jesus for life change today? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God of restoration and renovation, you know what changes are needed in our life. For us to look more like you, please work in our heart and life today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread and scripture reading for this evening. Imagine this. Time. I'd like to play another selection. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to participate in our lesson, please feel free to call 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. this evening. Amen. We would be loved to have you and to hear your input on on Basic Theology. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection. Amen.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
praise God. God of mercy, I confess that sometimes I make light of your mercy. Because of your mercy, I have been given second chance after second chance. You have shown me forgiveness and withheld the full consequences that my action deserved. Forgive me, acknowledging the power of your mercy, for not remembering what you have spared me from, and for not giving you the full devotion of my heart. Restore me, Elohim Chastity, for you have turned your indignation away from me. Revive me again that I may rejoice in you. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here on this program every day from Tuesday to Saturday, praying for one another and preaching God's word. Amen. So at this time, again, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. This one is Lift Him Up by Brian Cage. Brian.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what. The problem may be,
He's in control
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
Best of peace.
Come on, lift Him up again.
Oh, lift Him up.
Rejoice.
Rejoice. And shout unto Him.
Why? For you called us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live.
In Him I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
Him I live.
In Him I live.
If you believe that,
my
sing this for the blood of people. Come on, lift Him.
Oh, lift Him up, rejoice.
And shout unto Him.
And shout unto Him.
The Lord you call Him.
We have caused us to triumph.
And we know we will rule in the end. Say it again.
Lift
the peace.
Oh, lift Him up, rejoice.
Come on, someone shout.
And shout
with the voice of triumph tonight.
We have caused us to triumph. And we know we will.
life. The things that you're doing, knowing ain't right. Don't even know if you can make it through the night. So let's pray. Don't have to be ashamed.
Never too
never
late.
Never too late.
There's a better way. Each and every day. Jesus saves. Just proclaim His name.
Praise be to God. El Elohim Cassidy, thank you for showing me your loving kindness. Thank you for granting me salvation, not only for eternity, but also in history. Thank you for speaking peace and mercy to your people, to your godly ones. Thank you for showing me mercy and empowering me to turn away from folly. I'm grateful that your truth and mercy springs from the earth and that your compassion looks down from heaven. Indeed, Elohim Cassidy, you will give what is good for me, and my life will yield its produce. Mercy and peace go before you, preparing a path that I can follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread, excuse me, our sweet hour of prayer. Amen. So now we are going to get into our lesson for this evening. At this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
How are you?
Blessed, thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Is anyone else on the line?
Not yet.
Okay.
Unless you want me to play a selection while we...
No. It's 6 minutes after we can get started.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, few of your humble servants come to just say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, giving us the strength to do the things that you called us to do in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we appreciate you. We love you. We're grateful for you. Thank you for your unconditional love and your faithfulness, yes, your majesty, your just awesomeness, Lord God. If you never did anything else for me, I just say you've already done enough. Lord, I love you. Can't live without you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Bless our evangelist Hilda, Father God. Bless her in her going out and her coming in. Bless her household. Bless her family. Bless her grandchildren. Bless her family, Lord. Just continue to be who you are in her life. Bless everyone that's involved with this program. Bless all the listeners, all the families. I pray that you will just bless the bereaved right now, God. Touch the sick. Touch the disabled, Lord God, the homeless, all those that are in need of a touch from you. And that's actually all of us. Bless all the pastors, the deacons, the evangelists, the teachers and preachers and apostles. Just bless right now, Father God. And we will be so forever grateful for all these things I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen. So we're going to continue with the next chapter,
amen.
Chapter 23, the creation and sin of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's on page 161. And it begins like this. Number one, his creation. A, the time of it. If Satan were not a created being, then he must be eternal or self-existent, a dualism that is incompatible with monotheism. The scripture declared that all things were created by God through Christ, and there is nothing that was not made by him. John 1, verse 3, Colossians 1, verses 16 through 17. If you would get Colossians, well, get both of them if you can. John, first chapter, verse 3, and Colossians 1, 16 through 17. When I ask you, I'd like you to read that. The time of his creation is not specified. If Ezekiel 28 and 13, I'll get that, refers to Satan and to the earthly Garden of Eden, then of course he had to have been created before God planted the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2 and 8, and I'll get that. So if you would get John 1 and 3, mm-hmm. and then we'll listen to that.
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, John 1 and 3 says, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Amen. That's the New Living. And Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Amen.
Amen. What does that mean to you?
God created everything, so nothing was created without him. And he was, like when he said, 17 said that he existed before anything else. That, for me, that means that Christ was there with him during the creation.
Okay. So who created everything?
God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. They were all three. So they were all there at the beginning of creation.
We don't want you to add things that are not there. It doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit at that point.
Okay.
But it says that God created everything through Christ. Amen. So God basically proclaimed it, and it was through Christ that it was accomplished or manifested. All right? So everything was accomplished by God through Christ. We're going to take a look at Ezekiel 28 and 13, and I'm reading from the Message Bible. 28 and 13 says, okay, it goes from 11 to 19. Where it starts. I'm going to take a chance and think it's, from the day of your creation, you were sheer perfection. And then imperfection, evil, was detected in you. Is that somewhere around 13?
I'm trying to find it. Ezekiel 28 and 13 mm-hmm. says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone, red carnelian, pale green peridot, white moonstone, blue, green, beryl, oxen green jasper, blue lapis lazuli, turquoise.
Excuse me, one second.
Yeah.
Where does 13 start?
That's what I was reading, 13. It starts,
okay,
it starts in 28 and 13, Ezekiel. And 13 says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. And then it names the different colors of the clothing that, you know.
His robe was studded with different jewels.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's 13.
Okay. Because okay. mine starts at 11, and it just says, God's message came to me, son of man. Raise a funeral song over the king of Tyre. Tell him a message from God the Master. You had everything going for you. You were in Eden, God's garden. That's why I thought it was a little further down, but thank you for that.
Yes, that's where it's
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So did you get anything out of that?
Oh, I didn't know. Because, nah. I think you're going to have to explain that one.
Okay, God's message came to me, son of man, raise a funeral song over the king of Tyre. Right here, let's see, who is he talking to? Normally we would say that's Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
God's message come to me, son of man, raise a funeral song over the king of Tyre. Tell him a message from God, the master. You had everything. So this is talking to someone, and I'm going to say that it's the devil at this point.
Yeah, Satan.
You had everything going for you.
Yeah.
You were in Eden, God's garden. You were dressed in splendor. Your robe studded with jewels and carnelian, peridot, moonstone, beryl, onyx, and jet. Okay, so he was saying really how glorious he was. I mean, a rich robe with jewels and, you know, splendid and beautiful.
Yeah.
And he was created by God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
All right.
I said, I don't know how he would want to give up all of that.
He wanted more. That wasn't enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. He wanted more than God had. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wanted more than the Creator had.
Yeah. But
and I'm gonna say
you have to remember the Creator created him.
He wasn't looking at it like that.
No, he wasn't.
He
was
looking at it that
greedy
way.
Eyes. Greedy eyes. He was looking through.
Yeah. Wanted the power
mm-hmm.
and the glory and the honor.
And you see what power does to people?
Yeah, but he didn't have it. That's the thing. He didn't have it. He, you know, got kicked out. That's how much power
exactly.
he had.
Exactly. Yeah, but he had the power down here, though, on earth.
Well, they say he's the prince of the power of the air. So...
Mm.
Let's take a look at Genesis 2 and 8.
Okay.
And again, I'm in the message, and it says, you have it? I'm going to wait. I'll wait.
Okay. You know, when 2 and
8. I need to get the King James so I can find things that are not easily found.
Okay.
I'll separate it. Okay.
You want me to read it?
Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, 8 says, then the Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he placed the man he had made. Amen.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, that's all it says in 8.
I hear. Because, like I said,
welcome,
first
lady.
And it goes on. Good evening. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm doing good. Just like the, you know, I was still, you know, he's still on the rehearsal, so I just backed away.
I forgot about
so I'm not
rehearsal.
Really at my computer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's at my computer, so but I'll get to. I can still get to the scriptures on my phone. Just, like I don't have the book in front of me to read it, but I can get to the scriptures. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, wow. We're at the next section, chapter 23 of creation. And sin of Satan. We just started, and if you like, I can reread part A, a short paragraph.
Please.
Okay. The time of it. If Satan were not a created being, then he must be eternal or self-existent, a dualism that is incompatible with monotheism. The scriptures declare that all things were created by God through Christ, and there is nothing that was not made by him. And Evangelist, would you indulge me again? Hit John 1 and 3 and
okay.
Colossians 1
mm-hmm.
when we're ready. And the time of his creation is not specified. If Ezekiel 28 and 13, Lady Nadine, get that, please. Refers to
Ezekiel.
Satan.
I'm just Ezekiel 28:13. Yep, I got you.
Okay, thank you. If Ezekiel 28:13 refers to Satan and to the earthly garden of Eden, then of course we have to have been created before God planted the garden of Eden. If you would also get Genesis 2:8, Nadine. So Evangelist, John 1
okay.
and 3 and Colossians.
John 1 6. And 3. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Amen. That's John 1 and 3 and Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, for through him God created everything, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Amen. That was Colossians 1, 16 and 17.
Okay. Can you explain what John 1 and 3 means to you, if you would, Evangeline?
Oh, yeah. 1 and 3, God created everything, and like it said, that nothing was
mm-hmm.
created except through him. So he created everything through Christ. Oops. Don't you
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Colossians 1, 16 through 17, would you expound on that?
So it says through him, so through Christ, God created everything in the heavens and in the heavenly realms and on the earth. And he made the things we can see and the things that we cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And he existed which means Christ existed before anything else, and he holds all creations together.
Amen. Lady Nadine, would you like to get in on that? Anything that it means to you, or share something?
No, I think Hilda gave a good description of it. I agree with her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we see that God created everything through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we get
right.
to Genesis 2 and 8, we're going to see something that says the same thing. But would you read Ezekiel 28 and 13, please?
Yeah. Ezekiel 28 and 13 says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your setting and socket was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared." So, I mean, right, he had all these precious stones, and we know he was in the Garden of Eden because he tempted Eve. So.
Yes. He tempted what's her name, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Evangelist Hilda, you want to share about that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Genesis.
And what was the other one? Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis 2 and
8. I didn't hear you. Genesis what chapter?
To second.
2 and 8.
2 and 8. Oh, 2 and 8. Okay. 8 says, "The Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed." So,
mm-hmm.
That's God created man. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, but we know that God created it, or man, or things, really, through Christ. Amen. He spoke
Christ.
It, and Christ
That's right.
allowed it to be manifested. Or I should say it was manifested
Amen.
Through Christ. Amen.
Manifested through Christ, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, B. Ooh. Yeah. The characteristics of it. Okay. First we had the time of it. Now we have B, the characteristics of it. Many debate whether or not Ezekiel 28:11 through 19 has Satan in view, but if it does, then it provides us with a number of descriptive details as to the characteristics of Satan's original condition at his creation. I'm going to ask Evangelist Hilda to get Ezekiel 28:11 through 19 when we're ready for that. All agree that the subject of verses 1 through 19 is judgment on Tyre and its leader. But the question is, do verses 11 through 19 go beyond the human leader to reveal things about something or someone else? The candidates for that something or someone else called the king of Tyre are a symbol drawn from pagan mythology, B, a primal being who lived in the Garden of Eden and was driven out through pride, C, a mythological unreal being presented in Phoenician mythology and incorporated and applied in this story to the king of Tyre, D, an ideal, though unreal person, E, the ideal man, the same as the historical first man, Adam, whose histories, initial privileges, and subsequent sin are analogous, or F, not F, and F, the sinister being Satan, and finally G, Satan's masterpiece, Antichrist, or Antichrist. So, Evangelist Hilda's going to get Ezekiel 28:11-19. Would you read that? And then I'm going to ask Nadine to read 1-10 of Ezekiel. Evangelist first.
Okay.
Okay. Verse 11 says, then this further message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone. Do I have to go through these colors?
You don't
red.
Have to if it's...
Okay, thank you. And
thank
emerald,
you.
Beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned. So I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you to the curious gaze of kings. You defiled your sanctuaries with your many sins and your dishonest trade. So I brought fire out from within you and it consumed you. I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All who knew you are appalled at your faith. You have come to a terrible end, and you will exist no more. None other than Satan himself, he's telling all of this to.
Amen, amen. So it's like I can't seem to know good.
You're breaking up, Sister Barbara.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be messed up on this one too, but you can hear me right now. If it messes up again, I just have to hold it in my hand.
Okay.
It probably comes to out. Well, it said that his pride and such came in much buying and selling, and that's when he turned violent. That's around, I don't know, 16 or something. Because again, the message goes from 11 to 19. So in his buying and selling, he became violent. That's curious.
Yeah.
You know, in much buying and selling, you turned violent. You sinned.
Yes.
I threw you disgraced off the mountain of God. I threw you out, you, the anointed angel cherub. No more strolling among the gems of fire for you. Your beauty went to your head. You corrupted wisdom by using it to get worldly fame. I threw you to the ground, sent you sprawling before an audience of kings, and let them gloat over your demise by sin after sin after sin,
yes.
by your corrupt ways of doing business. You defiled your holy places of worship, so I set a fire around and within you. It burned you up. I reduced you to ashes. All anyone sees now when they look to you is ashes. You God. Oh, God. Oh, God. That, ooh, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
very powerful.
Yes. Any comments before Lady Nadine reads 1 through 10? Anybody, any comments?
I think this is very self-explanatory.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. When you're ready, Lady Nadine.
Yeah, I think, too, that, you know, I mean, what we just read from the book, it gave a lot of viewpoints of who, the who, what, and where in Ezekiel, you know, the different thoughts involved in whether it was a real king, whether it was Satan, whether it was this, you know, the A, B, C, and
mm-hmm.
E, and E's and F, you
yeah.
know,
oh.
and, you know, I mean, as we go on, it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what's the conclusion, but I'll read 1 through 10 now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
like you said, Hilda, to me it's clearly Satan, right? It's clearly
right.
Satan. And
yeah.
I think in Ezekiel is mm-hmm. where we have the most vivid and clarified, because for a long time I was like, where in the Bible does it talk about Satan? What happened
mm-hmm.
to him? You know, him being thrown
mm-hmm.
out? Because I had did a little bit of research on my own prior, you know, because I'm like, you keep hearing people talking about what happened to him, but where is this in the Bible? Because I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I did a little research, and I that's how the first time I read Ezekiel, and I was like, wow, it just really just blew my mind. So anyway, once again.
Mind-blowing. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the heart of the seas, yet you are a man, and not God. Although you make your heart like the heart of God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself and have acquired gold and silver for your treasury. By your great wisdom, and you have acquired gold and silver for your treasuries by your great wisdom. By your trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nation,
wow.
and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you still say, I am God, in the presence of your slayer, though you are a man and not God, in the hands of those who wounded you? You will die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, declared the Lord God. Now, 1 through 10 does sound like a king. It does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1 through 10
mm-hmm.
refers to the, you know, I feel like it's referring to the actual king of Tyre a man.
Mm-hmm. Well, Prince of Tyre. Mine says Prince.
Oh, the Prince of Tyre, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Prince or King. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine but it sounds like a human both. Being, a mortal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mortal
a human being who just, he's smart and he's acquired riches, but he's claiming to be God. I remember my goddaughter when she was little, you know, I started taking her to church with me. You know, she had to be about maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started taking her to church with me because they would come over my house for the week. Any kid came over my house for the weekend, they were in church. Okay, on Sunday. Even after they got grown, because, you know, I've always had kids over my house.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they come over, have the sleepovers, they stay for the weekend. All right, everybody up, we go to church. So I used to take my goddaughter with me to church so when she was little. So one day she said to me, you know what, Gotti, because they call me Gotti. You know what, Gotti? I told my daddy that I learned about God, and my daddy said he's God.
Oh.
I said, her name is Santina. I said, your daddy is not the God that we serve. God is almighty. God is so powerful. And I said, the God that we serve, you can't see him, you know, but he's with us always.
Mm-hmm.
And she shook her head. But, I'm taking your child to church, and you're going to turn around and tell her that you're God? Well, he did suffer. Her father ended up dying with a serious brain tumor. But it was like, my goodness.
Oh,
my
yeah.
daddy said he's God.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask you,
your daddy's not God.
What was his religion or his cultural
he didn't have any.
Identity? No?
Oh, he was he's from Antigua. He was from Antigua.
Okay.
But he didn't have any. He didn't believe in God. He was an atheist.
I know as I was growing up, I was involved with a young man who was a 5 percenter. I don't know if it's girls.
I used to be one.
Let me finish. And so the men call themselves gods. Okay,
yeah,
the men say they're God, and the women are called Earth. So they're God, and their girls are Earth.
Mm.
That's all I wanted to say. But it's not, I don't think, to the degree of comparing themselves to God or not. I can't say that I even questioned it. Amen?
Yeah,
that's why
I was a 5%. And they did call themselves gods, but they did believe that there was an almighty. You know, they believed in because they know God created everything. And that was their justification for smoking weed, and that was their justification for drinking, for getting high. Because they would tell you, they would say, well, this is fine because God created it, and everything that God created is good for you.
It's good, yeah.
That was their whole motto. And I had gotten out of it because I was young. You know, I was young. And I got out of it when the guy told me it's time for him to plant his seed in me. I said, you ain't planting no seed over here. You ain't planting no seeds over here. Because a lot of the young girls, I mean, I had to be, I was like in high school or whatever, you know, when we used to meet on Montmorency Park. We're up on the top of the mountain there, the Fifth Avenue entrance. They would meet up there. And all these young girls with these baby carriages and babies in their arms, pregnant. I was like, oh no, this religion is not for me. Ain't nobody planting no seeds in me.
Well, I kind of got out of it when I heard that the fathers could sleep with their own daughters.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
So,
what?
That was expressed to me. I was like, I wasn't in it. I was just going with someone who was in it, and he called me You know, he gave me a name. My name. What was your name? I'll tell you my name in a second.
Oh, Shaniqua. Shaniqua.
Get out of here.
No.
Well, mine was Shaquina.
Oh, my goodness.
Shaquina.
Shaniqua and Shaquina.
Amen. Amen. I'm trying to think of what his name was. What was his name? I have to think on that. But anyway,
yeah.
A small world. You know, a small world.
I know.
It really is. And I think he used to go to the, I think what they call it, the temple over there on 123rd
yeah.
Street and I think 8th Avenue.
Exactly. Yep. 7th
yeah.
Avenue. Mm-hmm. Right there,
the
temple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on the
corner.
It's still
there.
The building is still there. I don't know if the religion is. I don't know. You know, but that
probably
is
not.
Still there.
I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
you know, because they are still around, as far as I know. They are still practicing. But anyway,
oh,
I just wanted to say that you know depends on your religion. If you call yourself
mm-hmm.
God, and it would be God with a little G. That's for real.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Not the Almighty.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're going to...
Yeah. Even when I'm reading Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
when I was reading Ezekiel, just what I just read, 1 through 10, they, of course, they had God in the scripture with a little G. You say you
yeah.
God. It's God with a little G.
Mm-hmm. But just the thought
that.
Of it, he
mm-hmm.
said he was God, and... You know, he was doing all this and all
mm-hmm.
that, and
right.
he got the big head. That's what it ended up saying, too.
It's the big head, yeah.
Yeah, but the money had gone to his head, swelled his head. What a big head.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
He used his head well, worked good deals, made a lot of money, but the money has gone to his head, swelled his head.
Right.
What a big head. Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. And that mm-hmm. happens. That happens. And
oh,
that's a lot of times when people say, I don't need God. I can do this all by myself. God is not doing
ooh,
nothing
yeah.
for me. You know,
yeah.
I did it. I did it all.
Knowing. Yep.
But for God.
That's it. I.
But God.
I. Yeah.
Yes. We're going to continue. Views A through D are incompatible with the principles of normal interpretation, for there is no justification for introducing such mythology into the text. UE, do I have to read A through D again? I guess
no.
so, right? No? Okay. View E, though possible, seems to fall short of fulfilling the totality of the sinister nature of the figure behind the king of Tyre. I'll read E.
Okay.
The ideal man, the same as the historical first man, Adam, whose histories, initial privileges, and subsequent sin are analogous. What is analogous?
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, what is that?
Okay. What is analogous? Analogous, analogous.
Let's see. The ideal man, the same as the historical first man, Adam, whose histories are analogous. I want to say, like, similar, based on that sentence. I want to say analogous means similar. Yeah.
Okay, analogies. It's compatible in certain respect, typically in a way which makes clearer the nature of the things compared. That's all it says.
Okay,
compatible,
so it makes things
respect.
Clearer.
Yeah.
In a way that it's compared to other things or things
right.
similar to itself.
Yeah.
Okay, so the ideal man, the same as the historical first man, Adam, comparing the ideal man to Adam, whose histories, initial privileges, and his subsequent sin are analogous, are similar, are alike. Amen.
Yeah, similar alike, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Thank you both. And so, view E, which I just read, though possible, seems to fall short of fulfilling the totality of the sinister nature of the figure behind the King of Tyre. What does that mean? Though possible, seems to fall short of fulfilling the totality of the sinister nature of the figure behind the King of Tyre. It's comparing something. And again, we've been saying every time we read it, basically, that we don't know if it's the king or if it's the prince or if it's Satan. So it's comparing.
Well, from what that, from E says to me, is that, you know, I mean, what E is saying, what I think to me, what E is saying is that it's describing him, but it's not really describing Satan as causing his actions. Talking about
so
the sinister
him,
nature of the
who
figure.
You mean by him?
Meaning
him?
The king of Tyre, the king
okay.
of Tyre is being, his actions are the result of Satan. Because all the things that he's doing, I think what this is saying to me, that all the things that the king of Tyre is doing is the result of the sinister nature of the figure, and that figure is Satan, that's behind the king of Tyre.
Okay. I'm going to go back to A through D.
Mm-hmm.
It says the candidate for that something or someone else called the king of Tyre. So in other words, who we can consider to be the king analogous, if you will, with the king of Tyre are a symbol drawn from pagan mythology, B, a primal being who lived in the Garden of Eden and was driven out through pride, okay, we know that's Satan, the snake, C, a mythological unreal being presented in Phoenician mythology and it incorporated and applied in this story to the king of Tyre. So this is analogous to the Phoenician mythology comparing someone in that to the king of Tyre. And D, an ideal though unreal person. All right, so we're comparing all of that.
Right.
Let me go on to, unless you want to add something, I'm going to go on to the next sentence. No?
No.
Okay. Views F and G can be combined. So F says the sinister being Satan, and G says Satan's masterpiece, Antichrist. So Satan is not apparently considered to be the Antichrist, i.e. Satan is the one behind it all, including being behind Antichrist, who will be the climax of all people whom Satan has indwelt throughout history. So the Antichrist is not Satan.
The Antichrist would be like the king of Tyre.
Let me, okay. Go on.
Yeah, like he would be an example of an antichrist because the antichrist is manipulated. Satan is the one behind it all. So Satan is the one who manipulates the person into being an antichrist. Wow.
Okay. The king of Tyre was the one he indwelt in the past, as Antichrist will be the final one he will indwell in the future. So, say what you said again, if you recall what you said.
Yeah, I said it's the, you know, it's one Satan indwells. Yeah, one Satan. The Antichrist is a person, people, it's a person who Satan has indwelled into.
All
and
right.
So, like, the king of Tyre, his actions are due to him being an antichrist, because Satan has indwelled himself into him.
Mm-hmm. To the point that, again, when we read it, sometimes it's not clear if we're talking about the devil or the king of Tyre, someone different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
Right. Because the devil is, yeah.
So
the devil is shining through him.
So the king of Tyre was one he indwelt in the past, and as Antichrist will be the final one he will indwell in the future. So the Antichrist has not officially come yet, but when he does come, he will be indwelled with Satan. Amen? So we...
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say we look forward to that day or we can expect that day to come, but if we are alive when the Antichrist comes, we know that he will be indwelled by the devil. All right?
No, people will, once people are indwelled by Satan, they become
mm-hmm.
the Antichrist.
But it's only one.
Because Antichrist is anybody who's against Christ.
No, it's not Antichrist. It's one being, an Antichrist.
Which one?
It's not, huh?
No, Pastor was saying 1 John 2 and what? Talks about the Antichrist.
Oh,
1 John 2 and 1? 2 and 18. 1 John 2 and 18.
Okay.
That's
get that again. 1 John 2
and
18.
Okay.
You have it.
You want me to read it?
1
yes.
John,
okay.
Which one? Say it again. You said...
Yes, 1
7,
John.
1 John chapter 2, 17 through 19, he said. Read the
okay,
whole
thing. Okay. All right. So do not love this world. 17 says, this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. 18 says, dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. And already...
Stop right there for 1 second. When you say you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, that's not saying that everybody is filled up with Satan and they're Antichrist. That's what I'm trying to get clear. Go on. The Antichrist
is
coming.
Well, let her finish let her finish.
She is. That's what I'm telling her to do. Go on.
And already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us when they left. It proved that they did not belong with us. That's
okay.
20,
right.
Up to 19, he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Evangelist,
okay.
Would you explain that?
How am I supposed to explain that?
The same way I am.
Okay. No. Dear children,
okay.
The last hour is here. You have heard that myth. That the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists. No, I can't. Go ahead.
Okay, Lady Nadine.
And this world.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me 1 second. Let me read it in the message.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at 15.
Okay.
And it basically it's saying what I said it's not, but anyway, it says, don't
mm-hmm.
love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. And the topic of this next lesson section is Antichrist with an S everywhere you look. Children, time is just about up. You heard that Antichrist is coming without an S. Well, they're all over the place. Antichrist everywhere you look. That's how we know that we're close to the end. They left us, but they were never really with us. If they had been, they would have stuck it out with us, loyal to the end. In leaving, they showed their true colors, showed they never did belong, okay? And this one is telling me that they're everywhere. It's not just one, but we're still waiting for the Antichrist that they spoke about when they say they're everywhere is a little a, the lowercase a. But there is still one that is coming that's a capital A.
Right.
Antichrist, singular, is coming. So they may be, there may be little Antichrists running all over the place, those who left the church because initially they didn't really even belong, but they were there and they got what they could get, or they didn't get what they came for, and they left. They left believing in Jesus Christ. But we're still talking about the Antichrist, singular, capitalized, is coming. Amen? Lady Nadine, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
What do you agree to?
I agree.
With what?
I agree that there are Antichrists, because when Satan, you know, when people leave from Christ, right, when they leave from Christ and they, you know, Satan takes over, that they become antichrists. And that, yes, there's still, you know, the capital A, antichrist, that will come, that is coming. But Satan can make, you know, we do have antichrists running around here, people who just hate Christ. Don't believe.
But that's not the one. That's not the one that we speak about so much. But they do exist, and we can see it. We can see it. How can we see it, Evangeline Silva? How do we see that?
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I was reading something.
You got to pay attention. What you up to? What you doing? Cooking?
No, I'm reading where it's saying about the in verse 19 about the Antichrist.
Okay, my question was, how do we know that the person, or that we have Antichrist running around among us?
Because the Antichrists are the ones who are trying to lure you away from the church. They want to move you away from God. So they're not really, they say they're Christians, but they're really not. They're just there to lure people out of the church.
You think that's what they're doing? They're trying to take people with them?
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay, I was reading here in 2 and 19, right, in 1 John. And it's saying that the Antichrists were not total strangers to the church. They once had been in the church, but they did not really belong to it. John does not say why they left. It is clear that their reason for joining in the first place were wrong. Some people may call themselves Christians for less than the best reasons. Perhaps going to church is a family tradition. Maybe they like the social and business contacts they make there, or possibly going to church is a long-standing habit, and they And they have never stopped to ask themselves why they do it. So what is your main reason for being a Christian? Unless it is a Christ-centered reason, you may not really belong. You don't have to settle for less than the best. You can become personally acquainted with Jesus Christ and become a loyal, trustworthy follower. So that's what I
know.
Yeah.
Good
so
point.
It, you know, it's explaining right there. In,
but I just have a an ought with you with the fact that you say they leave and they try to take other people with them.
Oh, okay. So when I said that, that means I was just saying because they're not strangers. They could, like, you know, if they are really not Christian, but it's just like a tradition, every Sunday you go to church. But when you go to church, what are you learning? You know, are you just going to sit there and then afterwards you leave and then you want to take, you know, some friends or family members with you? If they really not there for Christ.
The way I look at it is that I don't necessarily see them taking people with them, but what I see is when new Christians walk into a church and these antichrists are there and they do things where, like, for example, you know, when I went into convent the first time and this lady said, "That's my seat. I've been sitting in that seat for 40 years. You better find someplace else to sit."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So
anybody who's new in Christ would have been like, "Oh no, I ain't that." You know, you find a lot of people who say, "Oh, I don't go to church because them church people are evil." So they stay away from the church because of the experience they've had in the churches by these antichrists. I mean, I know that they said the antichrists, they leave, but a lot of them stick around in the church. A lot of them stick around because it's tradition.
So
you know, it's traditional. My family go to church. We've been here. We done gave so much money to this church. This church belonged to us.
Yeah, I hear a lot of
things like
that. People say that, you know. Well, I'm not leaving. I invested in this church, so I'm staying right here. Anybody else want to leave, they can leave, but I'm staying. Where are you staying if you don't want to be there?
So you think the woman that told you to get up out of her seat because she'd been there 40 years was an antichrist?
No, I can't say that because I don't know what her relationship with God is. I'm just saying that they are antichrists in the church. You know,
I wouldn't take her as an antichrist because she wanted to stay. She said you were in her seat, so it's not like she was leaving. But they were saying that the antichrists are the ones that come and basically don't get what they thought they wanted or what they were looking for or whatever, and they leave. That's the bottom line.
It takes them a minute before they leave, though. I think it takes them a minute.
They don't.
Before they leave.
They don't come in and it's not like a revolving door. They come in, they don't see what they want and they leave. No, they stick around because like someone said, they get to be a part of the church. You know, they love to come for whatever reason, tradition, family, socialization, whatever, the preacher's wife,
right.
Whatever. They come, but for some reason they get turned off and they get turned off of Christ. Amen. So that was wonderful. We're going to have to close it out right now because it's after 8 o'clock. But it's 8:08.
Yeah, I just want to say something, one more thing. That when I used to work for the Jewish home in the hospital, and we used to go down to the, I had to go to this leadership training, and it was in the one of the Jewish, it's down on 59th Street, the United Jewish Association. And I would go to these leadership classes there, and they were strict. You know, you couldn't bring food in there. You could only, it was totally kosher and everything like that. And the one thing that rocked me, because there were other people there, you know, we were all leaders. I was only black. Most of the people that were there were Jewish. Mm-hmm. And about half of them were atheists. So I was like, how could you be an atheist Jew? It doesn't make any sense to me.
How were they atheists? How were they atheists?
They did not believe in God, you know. And we had a discussion about it. And I was, it was like, it was about five of them who said, and they said in, you know, at the meeting, you know, they didn't believe in God, but they believed in the Jewish tradition. That's why they considered themselves Jewish. So they celebrated all the Jewish holidays.
Mm-hmm.
They loved the Jewish tradition, but they did not believe in God.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that because, again, sometimes their, I'll say, ethnicity is cultural,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily religious.
Mm-hmm.
Or religion.
Right.
And so
right.
they live
and that's
like
what they
Jews,
said.
But yeah, they live like Jews, but they don't believe in God. That's hard. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it does happen.
Yeah.
I thank you ladies for your participation and
Amen.
Insight and
good lesson
sharing. Great.
Absolutely.
Learning more. You're learning more, that's for sure.
Especially about Satan.
So much.
Antichrist.
Mm. So
because I always thought that was another name for Satan. That Satan.
You know what? I thought the same thing. I'm with you. I thought the same, that Satan was the Antichrist.
Antichrist, right.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what did we learn? What did we learn, Evangelist?
That he's not. And that the Antichrist is still to come. So,
and that the Antichrist, go on, Nadine.
The Antichrist is what?
I said, Nadine, go on and finish.
Oh, but that we have Antichrists among us.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but who's
right? People who
not
Satan
who,
has
but...
indwelled and they turned their back on Christ.
Thank you. That is when the Antichrist is indwelt by Satan. And again, until the one with the capital A, the big Antichrist comes, we have little ones running among
around,
us, those who have turned away from Christ. And I don't know if they're necessarily trying to bring anybody with them, like I said before, but they're getting the heck out of Dodge, you know? They're getting out of the church. So, ladies, once more, thank you for sharing your time with me. And thank Pastor, too, for putting his, you know, wisdom in.
Yeah, thank you for the that scripture. Because, I mean, like, if I didn't read that scripture, I mean, it was like, okay.
It definitely clarified it for all of us.
That Satan
I'm
going to
ask you for homework. For homework, that we read that again, 1 John 2nd chapter in its entirety, and try to get a little more understanding.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get to kind of expound on it anymore, but for our own clarity, I just put it down for homework. Read 1 John 2nd chapter if you get a chance.
Excellent.
We should be finished with with the reminders of Amos. We finished reading chapter 9, but I know First Lady is going to do what she does on Tuesday nights, and I'll be more than glad to join you this coming Tuesday, God willing,
Amen.
So love you all. Love you too.
I was going to say, how was the voting?
Well, we didn't finish with a prayer, and then we could chit-chat for a second.
Oh, okay.
Would you pray us out?
Sure. Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that was said tonight, and we thank you for all the clarity of who the Antichrist is, and thank you for a wonderful lesson. Also, we want to thank you for our teacher this evening who brought across everything in a good understanding. And that, you know, so that we could understand what the writer was saying and who was the king of the King Tyrion. So we just thank you for that, Lord God. And we thank you for just,
giving us another day to be here, another Wednesday to gather together in your name and to read about your word and to study your word and to do whatever it is that you would have us to do, Lord God. Bless each and every one of us on the line this evening. Touch each and every one of us in a mighty special way. Heal anyone that needs to be healed. Touch Mother Wiggins and bless her, Lord God, and strengthen her. And God, continue to guide her in the way that you would have her to go, Lord God. Strengthen her in a mighty way, Lord God. And bless our pastor, our first lady, our deacons and deaconesses, our songbirds, our minister of music. And just continue to bless the fivefold, Lord God, and touch us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. And we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, and let your will be done, not our will, Lord God, but your will be done in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
I just want to say that, yesterday was quite a day. Everything went well with the machinery and stuff. I was on the scanner. But at the end of the night, I was threatened and harassed by someone. I had to write a letter. I called last night after 11 o'clock to find out what I needed to do. And they said, well, you got to document it. And I said, well, is there a form? They said, no, you got to write a letter and bring it down here or mail it. I said, okay, I will bring
it
down.
It was one of the workers, Barbara?
Yes.
It was one of the workers?
Oh, my goodness.
What?
One of the co-workers. And I had beef with her like the last time we worked together, and she brought it up again. And because I was on, I don't want to bore you guys with the long thing, but I was on a particular scanner, and the coordinator said that, you know, don't sign your name to the tape. You know, I don't know if you know about the tape that comes out of the machine, but anyway, don't sign your name to the tape because I may reassign you. So I didn't sign my name to the tape, but I did sign the book. So there's a book that we have to sign on the scanner, the count, the public count, and all of that. So I had signed my book on scanner B. So before the night was over, about midday, I was told to go to scanner D. That's where she was. I don't even know the woman's name, but I saw her name in the book. So I didn't like it. I didn't say nothing, and she didn't say nothing to me, but she kind of disappeared at one time. So anyway, at the end of the night, she wouldn't sign the tape. I had signed it. When I turned it in to the coordinator, she said, is every signature? No. But she won't sign it. And I'm like, she was like, get out of here. Go find her. I said, go find her. She's not even talking to me. What do you mean, go find her? That's not my job to find her.
That's not your responsibility.
One thing led to another, and when I went back on the machine, somebody else found her. She came, she signed, and then she had told me before that even got to that point, I don't want to work with you. And I said, well, I don't want to work with you either. You know, so like I said, she disappeared, and then when she did come back, she did that. But before it was all said and done, she pounded her fist on the scanner and said, if I see you again, I am going to, she didn't finish, but I got the implication that she wanted to do harm to me, right? So I finished doing what I had to do. And like I said, I felt threatened. I felt harassed. I felt threatened. So I wrote a letter, and I turned it in, and they said, well, it has to go to the chief. I said, listen, at Department of Board of Elections, I don't know how you do your job. I just did what I was told I had to do. So y'all handle that part. But I've done what I needed to do. And when I came out, I felt so – I was dancing in the car. I mean, they were playing something on the radio. I was like, woo! I didn't realize it was such a heavy thing on me, you know? I'm not, you know, not saying I'm not immune to that, but I'm not used to getting into, what are you mad at me about? And what she said was, last time you were here, you was trying to run everything. I wasn't trying to run everything. I told you, you can't have this and you can't have that and whatever, and now I'm trying to run the show, okay? So That's how my day was yesterday in Angela Silva. That's how my day was.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all good. I'll let you know the outcome. I mean, it may be everything and it may be nothing, but I prayed about it. I said, I don't want to make trouble, but I don't feel right. And if she's telling me she's again, she's going to do something, she might be serious. You know, so I can't take those things lightly.
I can't take those things lightly. And then I was looking up harassment,
and I see they have certain charges that it's a threat, it's violent, it's a visual, it's, and she did a lot of those things. So, no, I'm not going to let it go.
I hope and pray that it gets to who it's supposed to get to.
Yes.
Who did you give it to somebody there?
I gave it to the woman that I spoke to on the phone last night. She was the assistant to the person in charge of the poll workers. I wrote it. I sealed it with scotch tape, and I wrote a 3-page letter, and I handed it to her. She was tempted to read it, but it wasn't for her. It's for him. And she could open it and read it when she gets, wherever. But he supposedly had gone to a meeting outside of the building. And before I went, I called. I said, is he there? Yes, he's here. I said, well, he may go to lunch or something. I don't want to come. Oh, he'll be here. No, when I got there, he wasn't there. So at least they say he wasn't.
So
anyway.
So now you got to follow up to make sure he got it.
Yeah, but I told her, I'm on the computer. You can call me or have him write me once he makes a determination. Yes, I will follow up if I don't hear something in a, certain period of time. I don't know how much time that might be. But, yeah, I will follow up.
Because he should get back to you right away. Because, the reason why I'm saying that is that people don't take these complaints seriously. You know what I'm saying? And,
exactly.
I mean, especially, supervisors, they by law. I mean, they can be fined if they don't do if they don't go through the process of harassment.
Of
everything that they
have
to do.
Right.
Of addressing and harassment. These harassment issues are very, very serious now. People can't play with that.
Yes.
When you get a harassment in writing, you better follow through with it. And if they don't, they can be, they can be fined and all kind of stuff.
Yeah, so,
people tend to take it lightly. Oh, I, especially the person, they know the person. How he discusses it with her, or whatever, he better do that officially.
He would have to, because like I said, it has to go to the chief, is what she kept telling me. It has to go to the chief. I said, I don't know how you work down here, but I know whatever.
Just make sure
it gets
to the chief.
It's in your hands, huh?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Make sure it gets
you
to the chief.
You got to tell me how your job is done. I could care less how your job is done. I'm doing what I need to do. Now, you're handling your professional thing on that side. That's you. I don't need to know how you're doing it. I just need it taken care of.
Right.
Right.
Thank you for listening, ladies. We can discuss
it. You're welcome.
All right, guys. Take care.
If I get some answers.
Okay. Yeah, keep us abreast.
Okay.
Oh, we will.
All right. Thank you.
On Sunday, God's willing.
Thank you so much, God willing. And no, we're going to see you on Saturday, no? God willing.
Oh, Saturday, yes. I don't know why Saturday doesn't come in my mind.
It's okay.
Yes.
God willing.
Anyway,
love you all.
Love you too.
Night.
God bless.
Okay,
so we are going to leave out with all belong.
I gotta run.
To you.
I gotta
okay.
run.
Good night. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.